Episode 441, September 16th, 2019.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a fucking great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
please
are.
Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and that's it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
We are back. I think we're back. We thought we were back last week, and then one thing led to another, some chat room issues, some tech issues, some time situations with our lives, and then there was no show. We apologize.
Let's never do that again. It's weird. We had all those episodes probably in the previous 8 years. What did we miss? Maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and we've missed 2 weeks out of, what, three?
Yeah, I mean, I've had this has been a trend all year for me in terms of comedy shows getting canceled last minute and just things on the books that disappear. Just the year of 2019. That's been my year.
What's the biggest gig that disappeared? Would have paid you the most?
Saturday Night Live.
That's the one that disappeared.
Some six or seven, like some Keckner weeks that were like, you know, going to be fun, and then they didn't happen. Well, for real reasons, but he has other things going on. Yeah, we'll touch on that SNL thing because I know the Shane Gillis guy, if you're not familiar.
Is he local? Because everybody knows him but me.
Yeah, he's from Pennsylvania. I first worked with him, Mickey Coachella gig.
Oh, really?
It was Shane, then me, then Mickey.
He was the MC.
Exactly.
Was he hilarious?
Yeah, yes, and that was early on. I could tell this guy was definitely really funny. And then I saw him at Magoobies a few years later. I believe he won their new talent contest at
I think one I
point.
Did see that. Yeah, I saw that yeah. guy. It's, by the way, Stavros also won that. They got some pretty good names that have yeah. won that. They also have some shit names that won it as well.
So
let me apologize to everyone who was listening live last week who couldn't hear anything. We've used that same player for almost 8 years. And I check everything down the line. You guys can attest before we do a show. I check everything. Well, I don't check that because it's never been a problem. Well, apparently the tech company that puts out that player widget sold their platform to a company that decided to do away with the widget and monetize the player as a page. So everybody who had that widget had it suddenly turned off.
Oh, what a bunch of yeah. dicks wanting to get paid for their...
We don't pay for widgets.
Hey, that's, you know, that's Robbie's deal with... Robbie has probably stolen about, I don't want to exaggerate, $30,000 worth of music, Robbie. Is that an exaggeration?
No, that is an exaggeration. It's...
$20,000?
How many? Yeah. How many car songs have you stolen?
Handful.
All right. Do you feel guilty now that Rick Ocasek is dead? That you've he could have had more. He could have died with more money for
his family.
He probably
feels vindicated. He doesn't feel bad about that. But that's the big. That's the reason. I don't know. I don't know if Robbie will admit to this, but I know it to be true. The reason that he hates Apple is because iTunes is structured in a way that they really kind of make you accountable. And Robbie doesn't yes. want to be accountable to anyone. And what? As a result, mm-hmm. he won't use any of their products. Yeah. He doesn't even eat apples. Is that a fair assessment, Robbie?
I'm yeah. surprised you like Mac Bergson because Mac McIntosh seems yeah. like too close.
I know he doesn't like Scott Apple.
Yeah, we've discussed this a long time ago. But yeah, Apple iTunes won't let me play my stolen music.
And yeah, how dare
they? They actually try to delete it one time.
As they should.
But Robbie always has a backup, so there's no way they can get it from him.
Damn but right. Robbie will send when I'm doing sound or I have to get all the sound files for our murder mystery when Robbie can't be at a show,
yes,
and he sends me all these songs, I'm like, yeah, they're just, they won't play right. They literally play double. So it's like this 4-minute song is now 8 minutes.
Because they're all from, what's that? What was that? Napster? Is that what's that? What
LimeWire.
Yeah. That's right. LimeWire. Yeah.
Yeah.
Loved Napster and LimeWire.
You mentioned Scott Apple. It's been a while, but I'm itching, yearning for another Scott Apple music quiz.
Well, here's the problem. The problem with that is we talked a few episodes back. Scott Apple wants to get together with me, and if I do that, that's going to, you know what I'm saying? I don't know how
you're going to get your fix of him for 10 years.
I don't know how to get him on this show without also arranging.
Oh no, I can work it out.
Well, Joe, the listeners and myself and Robbie want you to get together with Scott Apple because that's going to be interesting content.
That's true, that is true. I know that.
I can save you from that, Joe. All you got to do is the same way we put together the game before. I'm the one who has to record, pre-record him, answering the stuff. So I'll call him, leave you out of it.
So we just come up with the info. And
yeah,
then
Joe wants you to do this. Really? Joe owes me an answer on getting together.
No, I'll say, hey, will you get together with me on Skype and record a game with me?
No. I'll get together with Scott. I love Scott.
I'll get together with you if it'll makes it easier.
Oh, maybe we could do that. Yeah. Like a triple date.
Does he like me?
Yeah, of course he does. You got him his wife.
Well, that's true. Well, he didn't invite me to the wedding. We've been down that road a thousand times.
Speaking of that, real quick, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but one of our close friends had a party and no one went from our group.
Tommy's?
No, Gary's.
Oh, yeah. No, I wanted to go.
No one went.
I thought you went.
I went. There was another 60 people there that I didn't know. There were some work people there, and that was it.
Who was invited that should have went?
Well, I mean, they're not going to know these names, but every single person that plays poker was invited. Everybody who's ever played. You know, everybody plays fantasy football. Frank
wasn't there?
Was invited. No, nobody. It was just...
Well, Gary has a beautiful party home.
Oh, and he also killed it in terms of... It was college themed.
Yeah, Gary's the richest guy we know, right?
The guy's not even close, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Todd Moore's pretty rich.
Huh. I put Gary up against Todd Moore.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's good. It's a good battle royale, I guess.
Okay.
Of W-2s. Anyway, whatever. Anyway. I'm just letting you know. You really let me down.
I was in Syracuse. I mean, it was impossible. I was working, Joe. I had a real excuse. I wanted to go. Look, I will speak about that. I was at Syracuse Funny Bone. Wednesday to Saturday, Thursday to Saturday with my friend Ryan Connor, who I first met, actually the same place I met Todd Moore, at this TV station in Maryfield, Virginia, where we were doing this public access TV kind of show thing, and Ryan was an intern. Gina Crash was there. Alan Scott, these were radio people.
Oh, yeah, Gina Crash. Yeah, she used to be on 99.1 back in its heyday.
With Alan Scott was also, yeah. And she's on somewhere now still. But anyway, Wednesday night, I'm there. There's a different headliner. This guy, T.K. Kirkland.
Okay.
And the manager is like, yeah, here he's really dirty. And she was not lying. I know sometimes you'll go out in our murder mystery and say it's super rated R. Well, if our murder mystery is super rated R, then this is super rated
this
X.
This is it's anal fisting.
Exactly. So... Every time, every male is referred to as the N-word, and every female is referred to as a bitch. So that's just the starting off point of our conversations. A lot of gratuitous sexual, got a bitch in every town, that whole thing. I don't like to bang older bitches because they want the ceiling fan off because it dries out their pussy.
I mean, really?
Yes. I mean, he's also a truth teller.
Is he crushing?
He did fine. He starts off, though, with this, and I don't know if this was a joke or because it wasn't really a joke in there, and for a conspiracy theory, there wasn't anything that was making any sense. Antonio Brown is a player, an NFL player, has been in the news a lot recently.
Yes.
He bounced around from, he went for the Steelers, and then he got signed, traded to Oakland, and there's this whole thing with not wearing the helmet, and him
burned his feet off, he didn't go to practice.
Got in an argument with the GM.
He threatened to beat him up, punted football into the stands, called him a cracker.
Right, so then he gets cut, he goes to the Patriots, and then this lawsuit comes out.
He's accused of rape.
Right, sexual assault and rape. So this guy goes... He has a lot of jokes about the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, they wanted Antonio Brown to come out as gay. And he told them, fuck no. And so then they planted this lawsuit because he wouldn't be gay.
He believes that?
He says that as if, by the way, there's no evidence. He's just saying that.
It's a statement of fact.
Exactly.
But, you know, in order to corroborate that this relationship was consensual, there are photos leaked of him in bed with her and all this stuff. And the whole idea is, at the very least, we know that they either had consensual sex or non-consensual sex, but it was still man and woman. I don't like it. Just
yeah,
no
I don't
sense.
Know why are they trying to, they want him to be gay. What, it doesn't make any sense, but I was like, okay. So then, he was an interesting guy in that his life, he had some stories that, you know, maybe they're true, but I tended to believe something. If it's interesting, because it's more fun to believe.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah.
How do you qualify as a truth teller? What does that mean? Like, you say things that people aren't saying?
I'm not saying he's a truth teller. I'm saying he sees himself as a truth teller.
But more like I'm exposing the
yes.
truth. Okay, got
yeah.
it.
Like, and he did this thing, and I've seen this as like a sort of a bit that, like one of those blue collar comedy guys, not the two big ones, not Foxworthy. There's three big ones, and there's
yeah,
a
Larry
one.
The Cable Guy,
Bill
Foxworthy,
Engvall.
Bill Engvall, and Ron White.
Right,
that's
Engvall
it, right.
had
God,
this.
I know all of
right.
them.
He had this running thing where he would say, here's your sign.
Here's your sign.
Right. It's basically, you do something stupid, here's your sign. Well, T.K. Kirkland does, who raised you? That's his version. A girl comes over, you ain't got snacks for her, who raised you?
That's like a catchphrase. Okay.
Exactly.
By the way, I know you will never say this. This sounds horrible.
well, I'm enjoying the ridiculousness.
Okay, gotcha.
And there's a lot of jokes like, you know, he saw this trans person and... If I'm saying it wrong, I'm just saying exactly what he said. And they, you know, surrounded his buddy, and then his buddy said something, and then everyone got out of their car, and they were on his side, and they go, we got to open his butt up, and like it's all this crazy stuff. I'm like, what world are you living in, right?
They were going to ass rape this guy?
Exactly.
Because, okay.
Yeah. So then he goes, back 30 years ago, I saw this comic, young guy. I told him he could make it. I brought him to New York. Put him up, showed him the ropes. That guy's Mike Epps. Later on, found another guy. Boom, boom, boom. D.L. Hughley.
Yeah. D.L. Hughley's like 60 years
right.
old.
Right. This guy's 57 at the end.
Okay.
Then, and I'm going to let you try to guess this third one. I'm going to say this, first of all. It's three things that's completely different between the first two. One, man. Two, white.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Actually, four things. Three, female. But the fourth one, not a stand-up comedian, but a household name.
Oprah.
Who he says,
oh, it's white.
A white female actress who is a household name. There are probably not five bigger actresses in the world.
Melissa McCarthy.
Bigger. That he says that he saw, recognized
Scarlett
her
Johansson.
Talent, and then had two white friends help him. It took a year to get to manager Sandra Bullock. I'm like, what are you talking about? Okay.
Man.
Yeah.
He reminds me of another guy that we know. But yeah, that's those stories.
But I don't know. He also said,
now, is
though,
he just telling them exclusively to you, or is Ryan there? I mean, who's there?
No, Ryan's not there yet. No, this is to the audience.
I mean, are people like,
yeah.
bullshit, right?
But he's also saying, look, I've done bad things. I robbed Charlie Murphy. I robbed Eddie Murphy. I robbed Suge Knight. And it's like, yeah, if you don't believe me, like there's autobiographies of all those guys. They all say this stuff. Hey, look, who knows? I'm sure you made a note, knew these people, how much of a role he played in their career. I have no idea.
Man.
But it was interesting.
I wouldn't rob Suge Knight.
No, I wouldn't.
He'll run over you with his car.
Yes.
Just for looking at him the wrong way.
Your friend Suge Knight.
Not yet, that's right.
You
there's
got
a picture of me with
Suge Knight.
I wish I looked cooler in that picture than I do. It's funnier that I look the way that I do, but.
No, it's funnier.
Yeah.
It's a better picture that
anyway.
You look like how you look.
Yeah, that's actually just what I
But other than that, good times in the Syracuse Funny Bone and the Destiny Mall. This is a mall. It's like the seventh biggest mall in the country in like the 600th biggest city. It makes no sense that this thing exists there.
It's in Syracuse, you
yeah.
said? Yeah, I've actually heard of that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And then we have the shuttle driver. That drives us from the hotel. This old guy. So I'm there first. He gives me this whole spiel. Yeah, the guy that owns it's going out of debt. See those two canes there? They're fixing the Carrier Dome roof. This. So then I'm there the next night with Ryan. He gives the same speech. I'm like, I was just here for this.
Well,
at least
you know it's true, right? Yeah. He told the same story. It isn't like this other guy who the next night, instead of Sandra Bullock, he accidentally says Amy Adams.
Yeah, you never, like, if I said the first two and then who's the third person he claimed, I mean, a thousand guesses.
If you
give
me no
hints,
yes, I would never. I'd never get there. I'd run out of comedians' names to give you.
But good times, nonetheless, in beautiful Syracuse, New York, right before it gets cold.
Well, I was back here doing a prep for my, and also my Raven show, which I do on Sundays. This game was against the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I was able to listen on my drive home. I drove home Sunday morning, and I listened to you do your 9 a.m. hour.
What'd you think?
I thought you did a good job.
You know, Rick Strauss, the program director, let me go back. When I used to work for Dave Hill, who really gave me a lot of opportunities, he's probably the reason, him and Mickey Cachell are the reason that I probably had a lot of the opportunities that I had in radio.
And T.K. Kirkland.
And, of course, T.K. Kirkland, who, if he ever met me, he'd say that.
Yes.
But the other thing that when I used to do nights, every single time we would have our, you know, prep meeting or whatever, and really wasn't a prep meeting. It was just a bullshit session where we told him what we were going to do. It didn't matter. But anyway, every time we did that, he would only critique things that he thought, oh, do this, do that, do a better job front selling this, mention this, blah, 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 reframe this. But he would never say, hey, that break was really funny. And I used to say to him, I go, listen, you know, this isn't me putting carburetors into cars. You have to let me know that I'm doing a good job because that kind of confidence is what breeds funny.
Yes.
And I used to say that to him. I've never said that to Rick Strauss, although Rick is the current program director. He's offered me the same thing, a lot of opportunities, but he's never really come up to me and said, hey, you're really doing a good job. He's never done that. And he did say that yesterday.
Well, that's had to make you feel good.
It did. And I even said to him, I go, thanks. Nobody ever does that. So,
he's probably thinking if he didn't think you were doing a good job, he wouldn't keep giving him these opportunities. But he'd still like to hear it.
Which is true. I know I'm doing a good job. You know, I keep getting more and more. As a matter of fact, I genuinely believe this, and if I'm wrong, whatever. But I genuinely believe at least one of the reasons that I didn't get the sports job on 98 Rock or BAL or whatever you call that, Keith Mills' old position, is because they have me doing so many things on the FM side that if they lose that, it's going to be tougher to find somebody to do all the things that I was doing plug and play.
I agree.
Than it is to hire a new guy to just start doing this. So that probably hurt me in that way. But either way, he said that. And by the way, you're like me. You know, when you do it, you're doing a good job.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you're like, oh, that's not like last week. As a matter of fact, when the chat was down and we couldn't get the questions to do our show, I knew that. Thank God there were technical issues because, you know, the show wasn't great because we didn't prepare for whatever it was that we ended up doing.
Not our best effort.
Right. So, you know, when you do stand up, it's different in stand up because the audience will tell you if you're doing a good job. But on radio, you just have a feeling, oh, that was funny. I said something funny. People are going to be interested in that. That was a good point or whatever. And again, I think I'm doing a pretty good job. I had one meh break last week. I had no bad breaks this week. But I'm going to talk about some of them, actually. So first thing is, you know, I have to go to the stadium and be there for broadcast at 9 o'clock. So you and me were built the same way. What time would you get there if you had to be on the air at 9?
8:15, 8:30.
8:30. So yeah. I get there at 8:30.
I'd be there at 4.
I know. Right, would be asleep there. So
I would try to get to the parking lot at 8:15 and then.
Well, we'll get there. Yeah. That's a good point you bring up. It's probably about what time I was there. 8:15, 8:20 is what time I was in the parking lot. And I'm in parking lot B, which opens at 8:30.
Okay.
So I'm in a line.
You're stressing.
A little bit, right? Because I don't know that they open. I don't know what time it opens, right? So I go across the double yellow line. And I pull. If you're familiar, I think what's the street where the statues are of Ray Lewis and Johnny Unitas? I go drive past all these cars across the double yellow line. I pull into where the uh, the cars are lined up to go through the booth where they check you, and I go and I get out of my car and I walk up to the cops walking over like, what the fuck are you doing, right? I go, hey, I'm on the broadcast. Can I get in? And he goes, what station? I go, 98 Rock. He goes, never heard of it. Now he's fucking with me, right?
Okay.
He goes, no, go ahead. And I literally just went by everybody. I drove by every single person and went in.
That had to feel awesome.
But it felt good, but there was some stress. What do you think it was?
Your stress that you felt?
Yeah. What do you think I was stressed about?
That he, I don't know. I have no idea.
I have to do that every week.
Oh, I see.
I'm going to have to drive by those cars yes. every single week. So I'm like, what? How the fuck am I going to do this? Anyway, so that was it. But when I got out of my car, there was a group of people in line. And I get out of my car, they go, Joe Robinson.
Well, that's awesome.
Well, I thought it was friends of mine, but it wasn't. Actual fans.
Look can believe you. That,
right?
Yes.
So, yeah, man, I'm really, really making it.
If only you would start tweeting about it.
I know, right?
Can I say this real quick?
Yeah.
Because we talked about this last week that didn't get aired, but this gig, now I know the reality of it. It isn't as awesome as it sounds to somebody. It's not like it pays a ton of money, but this gig, the best thing about this gig
is that I'm doing it.
And that you can tell people you're doing it.
Yeah, right. I do the pregame for the Baltimore Ravens.
This
gig
is like a hot chick who's really not that great of a relationship. She's not really having sex with you, but you get to have your arm around her. And so therefore you want to show everybody, look, this is my hot chick, and you're not doing that.
Right. It's like having you own a Lamborghini, but you're getting ready to bankrupt yourself or whatever.
Yes.
I got to see what you're saying. But you're right. I probably need to do a better job.
Because it is cool.
It is cool, and the station does a good job posting pictures like me and Haloti Nada. You know,
yes.
I mean? They do a good job with that stuff. And I've been a lot more active than I have been, at least
yes.
in terms of my Ravens content. I have been a lot more active. But, yeah, I could do a better job. But as you know, I'm fucking busy. No, I get it. I tweet. I can go
right.
while I'm taking a shit. I could tweet something out. But let me just say this. So you know how long it took me to do my Ravens prep?
An hour.
Took about 5 hours.
Wow.
Okay. Now, I have to do, it's not just that I have to do content. The content that I do by myself, I almost need to script it a little bit, right? Most of it's bullet points, but then getting in and out.
Especially your opening little 2-3 minute.
Right.
Welcome to the show, recap.
And I also have to, the part that I'm uncomfortable with, I really have to script.
Yeah.
You know? Like, hey, coming up at 10 and 20 minutes, it's going to be me and Kirk with the, you know. And by the way, do you know?
Because it's just you.
It's just me. Mm-hmm. And do you know what that is, what I'm doing? It's called Countdown to Game Day. And then when Kirk and I are on, it's Ravens Game Day. And then when we're done and Jerry Sandusky's on, it's Countdown to Kickoff.
That's confusing.
And then when the game starts, it's kickoff. Right. So I have to say, you know, coming up in 15 minutes, it's going to be me and my partner, Kirk McEwen, starting at 10, Countdown to Game Day. I mean, sorry, Thought.
Yeah.
The Ravens game day, you know, and you have to, so I script all that. And, you know, and then also you think about this. I get predictions from the station. It's this cross promotion. I knew Rick would like it. So I
like those.
I email everybody at the station. I ask them to give me a prediction. And then I either say something funny, or if you trust me, I'll do it. Right?
Yes.
And so Josh writes his own. Marianne writes her own. Justin writes, his own. Amelia wrote her own last week when she did it. I wrote Hannah's. Hannah didn't give me a prediction. You know, so
yeah.
It's like I have to write some of them. So that's all part. But I have to gather that and put it in there. Also, here's something weird. Last year, they used to do a segment called This Week in Tweets. Okay?
Yes.
And they would record it, and it really sounded kind of ham-hand. It sounded kind of cornball. So, like, let's do it live, okay? Well, now I'm responsible for gathering all the tweets.
Yeah.
I gather them all.
It's a job.
Well, how'd that happen? Why,
yeah.
You know, how did I now? It was a segment that I wasn't even involved in, and now I get all the tweets.
And all of this is, you have this gig because you are funny. That's what gets you on the radio.
Yeah.
But now having to worry about all these things, it's like, I used to say this about like a wide receiver, and now I'm going to say about our murder mystery. When you see like a rookie wide receiver, like why does he keep dropping these passes? Because he's
right.
thinking about, wait a minute, which play is this?
Did I run my route? That I did. Yeah.
Right. And so sometimes our murder mystery, I'm like, wait a minute, do I walk out now or do I go? And like, why? This person's funny. Why aren't they just tapping into that? Because they're thinking about us other
right.
stuff. And once you get to the point where you can autopilot those little stuff, your natural funny and the reason why you have this gig will come shining through.
But let me tell you something else about the tweets. I pick out 6 tweets, right?
Right.
Because that's the most that you can say something and then comment about what's funny about it, right? That's
yes.
the most. Now, and there's something that aren't funny, like Torrey Smith retired. He tweeted it out. That was one.
Right.
But there was 2. One, which I thought was fucking hysterical. Dalen Mack, who was drafted, I think, in the 5th round by the Ravens this year. He made the team. He's been on the inactives both the first 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
This guy tweets at him and says, how many retweets or likes or something like that do I have to get for you to sign my jersey?
For you, Joe Robinson.
No. Oh. He sent this to Dalen Mack.
Oh, okay.
He tweeted this at Dalen Mack.
Dalen
Mack goes, I'm a rookie. I'll just send it to me. I'll sign it. Right? It's pretty funny, right?
Yeah.
But when I write it down, I've already read it and determined what's funny about it. And I'm worried that when Kirk sees it and he just reads it for the first time, that he's not going to know what I was thinking. Like,
yes.
for example, Willie Snead went and gave a pep talk to at OMHS High School's football game. Well, OMHS was Oakland Mills, but Kirk and I went to Old Mill. So I was going to say, oh, my God, he went to our old high school. Oh, wait a minute, it's Oakland Mills. But you can't, you follow what I'm saying? So now
yes.
I got to, on the fly, explain all the, you know what I mean? All the tweets, what I was thinking, why I thought it was funny, the angle that I want to take.
Welcome to be a professional broadcaster,
well,
Joe.
Well, no, usually you have people that look, this isn't my full-time job.
That help
so
you?
In order to, right, to help out, right, to produce content or whatever. But either way, so I have to do all that, and it takes all that
do
time.
Do you want Robbie there with you at the Ravens game day walk pregame? What, I've already forgotten the name of it.
Well, Robbie's not built in a way.
I know that was a joke. I know you don't want Robbie there.
What I'm saying is, but no, but, well, you know, when Robbie used to help us produce the Theo and Joe show.
Yes.
Hey,
he
I'm telling you right
job.
Now, if that show was on in the, you know, afternoon drive, we'd still be on. It
yeah.
was so funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, people didn't know because nobody was listening that late to know how hilarious it was. Plus, it can't really be appointment radio if who's going to gather on the radio, like, you know, the old talkies or whatever.
Hold that thought, Joe. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Rob and Joe Show.
Jealousy, revenge, and a movie stunt gone horribly wrong. Hi, it's Justin from the 98 Rock Morning Show, and I'm not describing my weekend. I'm talking about the newest murder mystery from Die Laughing Productions, Halloween Whodunit. You've seen me play detective, a reality TV show judge, and even Marty McFly. Well, this time, I play M. Night Shyamalan-Domino-Lomino-Loom, the world's most celebrated film director, working on his new horror project. When someone is killed on the movie set, I go from directing the actors and cameramen to directing a murder investigation. And as always, you can play a part in solving the crime too, and maybe even play one of the suspects. Be a part of the mayhem and hilarity for which Die Laughing Productions has become renowned. Halloween Whodunit? Don't miss it.
Next performance, October 27th at Magoobie's Joke House in Timonium. For more information on upcoming show dates, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Welcome to Baltimore. It's really safe here.
We had a DNA test done. We talked about it. Oscar is a purebred golden retriever. Here's what that means. That means somebody had a purebred golden retriever with its testicles.
Game over.
So, first of all, I am good at sports.
No, I'm
okay.
No doubt.
Except for I wasn't good on AM. I flat out was.
I see Matt Colby is shitting on me.
I love Rob giving social media advice when he's slaying it himself. The shirt I slept in, I wasn't even wearing underwear because since Katie was gone, I jerked off. So
you had 6 donuts and 2 Grubhub?
My neighbors know me. All my neighbors know me.
You're infamous in this neighborhood.
She said, stop being mean, please. I want my Chrissy poo back.
I don't really think there's any humor in the electric slide.
It's electric!
No, and Matt Colby said, fuck the electric slide. So.
Ooh, shocking!
I go, so did Gramps, you know, flirt with you? She goes, of course. And he also
kissed me on the lips.
What?!
I'm a little offended that he won't cop
to it.
So
tell me the truth. Is Justin gay? I said, absolutely.
Yeah.
She goes, that's too bad because I'm really into him. You know, has a kid or something. I was like, yeah, you know, like a lot of gay men, it, you know, they don't come out until later in life. She goes, oh, that makes sense. One, two,
three. This is Joe Robinson on the home of the Baltimore Ravens. 98 Rock.
Boom. Jim Amato, ladies and gentlemen, the legendary. More from Joe's tales from the pregame.
So here's something else that was kind of stressful. So finally, I get in. Tell me how fucked up this is. I drive to the stadium, and I park my car almost right next to the broadcast. That's how close I get. I can be where I park from where we broadcast.
That's cool.
The problem is I can't leave because you can't drive out of a stadium at 12:30. You know what I'm saying? You can't do it. So what I do is I park the car there, and then Katie comes to the broadcast. She goes to the games. I give her the keys. Oh. Then I walk all the way to the horseshoe, and then I take an Uber home to my house, right? So, and it costs like $38 to do that.
Why don't you just drive to the horseshoe, park there, Uber there and back?
Well, I do that so Katie can have a great parking spot or whatever, you know. I see. And that's what it costs. But I don't mind doing that, right? But anyway.
Ugh, being married sounds rough.
So I get there. And again, I got there around, 8:20. I pull up. And I get there, and they're not really, I mean, the headphones aren't hooked up, you know. They don't have the little iPad that shows the clock. And, you know, it's like, wow, okay, whatever. They're really getting a late start or whatever. So I go, hey, you mind if I sit down to the girl, Alyssa, who's the one who works for promotions at 98 Rock, and she's like, yeah, just let me get this hooked up, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, okay, sit down. And it doesn't look like we haven't tested the mics. We haven't anything. It's about 10 of, right?
Are you thinking you should say, hey, are we going
to? That's exactly when
yeah.
I said something. So I said to Matt, also in promotions, I said, hey, you know, we start at 9. He goes, I didn't know that. They had no idea.
Oh, my God.
They start scrambling, okay, in order to get us on the air. And they finally hook it up, but we haven't gotten ourselves to go back to the studio. And I hear Ben Hancock, who he's on Laugh Finder.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that. Anyway, he's going, hello? Hello? Is anyone there? Like, he almost sounds panic, right? He's like, hello? Is anyone there? Is anyone there? Finally, we get in there, and we get on the air, you know, in plenty of time, about 3 minutes. Before it starts. But yeah, it was rather stressful. But Ben has to do this traffic spot where you hit this button and it reads traffic or whatever. And he hits the button and you hear like the bed for traffic and nothing. So he lets that play for about 15 seconds of complete silence, and then he goes back and goes, oh, shit, I forgot. I need to do XYZ. He forgot how to do it from last season.
Oh, God.
So that was really the only hiccup in the broadcast. But what's funny is that, you know, Ben, he didn't know whether or not he got fired or not.
From the broadcast?
From the broadcast, right. He goes, yeah, I didn't know. I was waiting for him to call me. They never did. And then like 3 days before, they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, you're back on here.
Okay.
So they just, what if he said I can't do it? I thought I got fired. Then we have no board op. But, yeah, so anyway, he runs the board. I love him. And I'm trying to remember. I think Caitlin Canary, who's going to be helping us with the murder mystery.
Yes, excited about that.
She's a producer for the Kirk and Marianne show. She also did a couple of the Ravens games. But I think Ben, he's going to be doing most of them this season.
Yeah, I talked with him about that. I did Laugh Finder, Tommy Simbazo's podcast with Eric Woodworth, among other people. And it's like the role-playing game.
You want me to tell one more? I have one more Raven story, and then are
yeah,
you ready?
Sure.
Yeah, let me do that, and then we'll talk about Laugh Finder. So we're talking to Jarrett Johnson, and for those listeners who don't know, he was a linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens. He wasn't an All Pro or a Hall of Famer, but he was real serviceable. So he's a big deal
and popular
and very popular. So he's a big deal
and a handsome man, if I remember correctly.
Good looking guy, right? And he's also charming, so
yes.
That you know helps too. So while we're talking to him, Haloti Ngata comes up because we're talking to him the next segment, right?
And he's a legend.
He's a legend. He's arguably a Hall of Famer. He's one of those fringe players. If he gets in, he'll get in, you know, not first ballot or whatever.
He's definitely in the conversation.
He definitely is. Anyway, So he's there, and Kirk goes, "Hey, Jarrett, Helodinata just came to the broadcast. Do you have any stories you want to tell us about him?" And he starts talking about him, and he goes, "Yeah, what I used to do is I used to start fights on the field, and then he would come in, and he'd be like my bodyguard. He would end up having to fight for me, right?" I go, "Oh, you're like his girlfriend." Okay. I say that. There's about, now Helodinata is sitting next to me. And by the way, Helodinata is one of the biggest people you ever, he's gigantic. Okay.
Intimidating to say.
Oh,
the least.
My God. He's so intimidating, right? Hey, he doesn't laugh. Thank God. Jared Johnson, he starts laughing, and then Jared Johnson goes, "That's exactly," and he elaborates on it. Thank God.
Oh,
because
that's
there
sat
was
out
this,
there.
It did just a tiny, tiny bit. And of course, I followed up with, I go, "Well, let me tell you something. My wife does that, but I can't fight." That's the big difference.
Yes.
Right? So anyway, so it ended up being actually really good. But there was just this little teeny second when I said that he was his girlfriend, that I didn't know if that was going to be okay.
Yeah.
But it ended up that it was. So.
It's so funny, though, if he got mad and like, slapped you. That would be great, right?
Slapped
Robbie?
Me. Yes. God, man. I mean, that would definitely. He was wearing a Super Bowl ring. I made a joke and I was going to try to put my arm through it, but it looks like a World Wrestling Federation belt.
How many of us do you think you'd be comfortable saying we could take him in a fight? No weapons, just.
I don't know.
I mean, we need at least, if it's five of us, we need more?
No, we couldn't be. Five of us couldn't be. Here's the thing.
10?
I don't think that I could hurt him by hitting him. That's the thing. I mean, I could try to hit him as hard as I could, but I don't think it would hurt him. He's a fucking gigantic guy.
Yeah.
And he's old, but he's not just gigantic. He's also a fucking world-class athlete.
What about our jiu-jitsu expert, Chris Restivo?
Well, you didn't say he was involved. No, I'm trying to think of people that I even know who are like, all right, don't fuck with this guy. But
just to get him down on the ground, how many?
Yeah. I mean, it would be impossible. You know, there's a video of him you can watch online playing rugby where all these guys are trying. They can't get him down. He's just fucking mauling people.
And even if you're with a group, you know he's going to get some shots in.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't want to be a part of it.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah. I mean, you also have to be willing to be one of the people to get hit while the other people, you know what I mean? Who's going to be that guy?
Well, one punch to the face, I'm done. I'm either knocked out or I'm running away.
Or you're dead, right? I mean, this guy is, his hand is as big as my head. It looks like a fucking club. Yeah. But the thing is, one more thing. Sorry. I actually told the story. He did the polar bear plunge when he was a rookie.
And tell people what that is again.
The polar bear plunge is where, for the Special Olympics, you go and you jump in freezing cold water. But we did the super plunge, where you go in every hour.
That's crazy. For 24 hours, right?
For 24 hours.
This is a horrible idea.
And he was there. He did it.
The 24-hour one?
He did it with Edwin Mulitalo. And I said to him, I said, I remember thinking this guy is too nice to be good at football. and Jared Johnson said he's the nicest guy he ever met playing football, but unless
you say he's a gay man.
Unless you made him angry. Yeah. If you got him upset, then he got his switch flipped real quick.
Laugh Finder. You've done it, I believe, twice now.
I have.
Now I've been hesitant. Tommy's asked me before, because I know nothing about this role-playing game world, Dungeons & Dragons. That's not the game. The game is called something else. I forget. Pathfinder.
Yeah. It's the same game. They just stole the idea.
But I know nothing about that. I'm also not, I'm not good at learning new things or games. Like, I know how to play Monopoly and Risk, and that's about it. And like three card games. So I haven't learned how to play a game, not that I learned how to play this, but I don't know.
Yeah, learning
in
to
like
play the game.
In like 35 years, I haven't learned any game.
It's the most annoying thing is learning how to play the game.
Right. So I am kind of, I know the first part you're just introducing and just shooting the shit, which obviously that's going to be fine. But I am nervous about, just it being so clearly obvious that I don't know what I'm doing, that it's not funny. It's just pathetic, right?
Right.
So you have to come up with a character. And I based it on two people in our lives, Eric Woodworth and Chris Restivo.
Okay.
And Eric, I said that he has the power of blowing vape smoke in your face that I believe that has a ringing in your ears that you can't get rid of, and that he's protected by five plates, a la five-plated, And the only thing that can penetrate these plates is an erect penis.
Well,
so that was to take a shot at Chris or Steve.
Yeah, but you know they probably do get that.
No, they made a lot of Restiva references. I felt like he's part of the show.
Yeah, he's definitely mentioned a lot.
So anyway, I ended up having a really good time. And I sort of by the end figured out, you know, the allure of this game and these kind of games, why people get into it. And we had fun. There was a point early on, though, where I made a joke and Tommy looked at me like, oh, I think I've made a mistake. So there was something called an adamantine or something. I don't even know what it is.
I don't know what that is
right.
either.
And I said, adamantine wolf. And Tommy goes, oh, God. I made a teen wolf joke about some friggin', I don't know what even hell it is.
He didn't like you making fun of this.
Exactly.
Now, I know adamantium is what the metal that they put over Wolverine's skeleton to make him...
Maybe I'm saying it wrong.
Indestructible or,
yeah. or
whatever. I know what it is.
There was also these four little like shot glass looking things of like potion, and like, which was apparently clearly poison. But I was like, I kept saying, why don't we have one person drink it and then we'll figure out. Tom was like, dude, it's clearly poison. Okay. I'm like, all right. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
At the end of the game, you roll a die, a 20-sider. What did you roll?
I rolled a bunch.
At the very end to get and they give you a die. Did you do that at the very end?
He just gave me one.
You didn't roll?
No.
So
I don't think so.
Usually you pick it out and then you roll a number and then they log that number.
Oh, I don't remember
that
part.
And I believe Sonny Fuller, and they had a girl on there that was a prostitute or something like that. Maybe it wasn't her.
I did well rolling. I dominated my roll.
Oh, you were good at rolling?
Yeah.
And then I think it wasn't the prostitute. I think it was the, actually, it's not, what's it called? An escort? Whatever.
Yes. Call girl.
It wasn't that one. It was the other girl that has the big boobs and the big fat ass, that chick. I might be wrong about this.
Eric Woodworth?
That's it. They both rolled 20s.
Oh, that's
so they have the record. I rolled a 19.
Okay, I don't think I did that.
You didn't do that?
But if you listen, I know Merle Rogers is a listener of both. I think it would be fun if you guys can say who did better, myself or Joe. Because that was sort of the running thing. Can I do at least as well or better than Joe Robinson?
That's what you said on air?
Well, that's what we had talked about at some point. I forget if it was on air right before.
You weren't better than me at the game.
I don't know. I mean, I rolled really well, so that's got to help.
Oh, I actually had some strategy that I threw in there. Yeah, I actually had some ideas that they used.
Well, that you probably did better then.
I did more of that the first time. The second time, I tried to be funnier. I don't know that I did anything. I don't know if I suggested anything. They also know shit that they have.
Yes.
Like, oh, I can teleport it. Well, I don't know you
I don't
have that.
It,
right?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know about that stuff.
What was your sword made out of?
Adamantium? No. I have no idea.
Because my sword was a giant Captain Crunch, because that's the flavor of vape that Eric likes.
Really? That can't.
It's very sharp, Joe.
That can't hurt it. It only hurts the roof of your mouth.
Somebody might have made that joke. I think somebody did, actually. Anyway, I had a good time. But thank you, Tommy and Eric and all the guys at Laugh Finder. I had a good time. So check it out. It comes out early October. And then October, we get into our full slate of murder mystery.
I know. I got to start preparing for that.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm excited.
I'm excited too, although I'm really leaving you high and dry a couple of them. I'm not going to be there, as you well know.
Yeah, a little stressful. But
that
we'll
is stressful.
Work.
It's stressful, just like with you when I do Jam and Job or whatever without you. You always call me. I know it's stressful when you're not there. I'd rather be there, obviously. But anyway, I still get paid, so that's good.
That's also good. Yeah, DireLaughingProductions.com. Sorry again for last week. We're going to try to double up this week. Later, guys.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.